Welcome to the latest episode of the Real World Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 134, Spotlight on Soy, Addressing Myths and Embracing the Nutrition Facts. Hi everyone, welcome to the latest episode. I am the host and founder of Real World Nutrition, Shelly Ryle, registered dietitian nutritionist. And today I want to address the topic of soy and soy foods, their health benefits, their nutrition facts, and addressing several myths surrounding consumption of soy foods and whether or not they're truly good for us or they increase our risk of certain health issues. All right, everyone, if you've been following me for any length of time or you know me, you know I like to use some of these many health observances to bring to the forefront some nutrition information about various foods and mental health issues and physical health issues and chronic disease and just so many things. So with that, April is National Soy Foods Month. So that's where I figured I would address this topic because it makes so much sense. But once again, like with many things I talk about, this is something that is year-round, that it's not just in April where we can talk about this and address this, but April's just when it brings to the forefront this topic. So let me just dive in. So not everyone is into soy, but it is one of those foods that can be polarizing. And I really never had any idea how controversial soy foods could be until I just did, as a lot of things this day, just did what I thought was an innocent post talking about soy foods. This was several years ago. And just some people talked about how horrible it was, that it's harmful to us, that we really shouldn't have it. And I was kind of just taken aback by it because I didn't realize at the time that this was such a hot topic. Because really, there's a lot of misconceptions and myths about soy foods. But bottom line, I'll tell you this at the forefront. If you're not into soy, if you have concerns about it, you can skip it. But I encourage you to listen to this episode anyway to see what might be some misinformation. So first of all, let's talk about what is soy. Soy is a legume, and it's been a staple in the Asian diet for centuries. Soybeans are traditionally, as I said, from Asia, but it is now available and grown locally. And today, as of this recording, I looked it up before, Brazil and the United States are among the leading producers of soybeans, as well as Argentina and China. And soy is a complete protein, which means it contains all 9 essential amino acids necessary for optimal health. And just side note there, generally speaking, what is considered a complete protein are usually animal foods, and very few plant foods are considered a complete protein. So soy is one of those few foods, plant foods, that's a complete protein. And soy comes in so many forms, including tofu, tempeh, edamame, soy milk, soy-based products like meat substitute, there's soy protein powders, and there's protein or energy bars made with soy. Now, of these foods made with or made from soy, some are fermented and some are not. So soy milk and tofu are not fermented, while foods like soy sauce and its gluten-free counterpart tamari and tempeh are fermented foods. And soybeans or the edamame, or you can have soy nuts, which are roasted soybeans, and other soy-based foods usually are not in the fermented category. So like with many foods, if you take cabbage, for example, you can have the unfermented version, like coleslaw, and then you can have fermented versions, like sauerkraut. And just one more note here on this topic or this part of it. Soybeans are grown for animal feed. So soy foods are often used for animal feed. So a lot of the soybeans that are grown do tend to go for animal feed. But I'm not going to dive much more into that here because I'm talking about human nutrition and human health. So soybeans and soy food nutrition. So as I mentioned, they're a complete protein containing all nine essential amino acids the body cannot produce. So of the amino acids, some we can make in our body, others we can't. Nine of those are the ones we cannot make in our body, and soy provides all of those. So this makes soy an excellent protein source for vegans, vegetarians, and then anyone who wants to have more plant proteins in their diet. Soy also has about 10 grams of protein in a 3-ounce serving of tofu, and 1 cup of soy milk has about 8 to 10 grams of protein. So this is one of the, when it comes to the milks, all these milks, I did an article about this a while back, and I'll link that in the show notes. If people don't want to or cannot consume cow's milk, soy milk is the only nutrition equivalent when it comes to protein that I recommend. There's lots of different milk alternatives out there, but most of them, if you look at the label, do not even come close to containing that 8 to 10 grams of protein. Even if it's made from a nut, it's usually less than 1 gram of protein per cup. So soy milk is something, again, that I recommend if people cannot or will not have cow's milk. Now, healthy fats. Soy contains polyunsaturated fats, including omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids, which we know help with heart health and can help with reducing inflammation. Fiber. Because soy is a plant food, whole soy foods like edamame and tempeh are rich in fiber, which can help with our digestive health, keeping things moving in a timely manner, as well as helping with weight management by helping us feel full for a little bit longer. And then all kinds of vitamins and minerals. Soy is a good source of calcium, iron, magnesium, several of the B vitamins. It helps with these vitamins and minerals can help with bone health, energy production, and just overall health and wellness. So the nutrient content of various soy foods will vary. This is like me giving you the nutrition information for a potato and talking about the excellent source of nutrients that a potato has, and then thinking this extends to potato chips and French fries. So this changing, this adulterating, so to speak, does affect overall nutrients. So having soy sauce certainly is not going to give you the protein that tofu or soy milk would. So soy sauce, as an example to extend on that, is really high in sodium, even those lower sodium varieties. And soy milk can have added sugars. But if we're talking about steamed edamame or soy nuts, those are pretty straightforward soy foods. So let me talk about the health benefits of soy. So beyond the nutritional profile, the protein, the fiber, the healthy fats, soy has health benefits. Number one, heart health. Research suggests that soy consumption may help lower the LDL cholesterol, that's the so-called bad cholesterol, potentially reducing the risk of heart disease, with heart disease being the leading cause of death among women and men worldwide. When it comes to bone health, soybeans have calcium and a little bit of vitamin D that can help with contributing to bone health and potentially reducing the risk of osteoporosis and fractures. And this is especially important for us as we age. For women, menopausal symptoms. The soy isoflavones, so isoflavones are a component of soy. So So they are phytochemicals or plant chemicals that are good for us. These soy isoflavones may help alleviate menopausal symptoms like hot flashes and night sweats. So this could be a natural relief for women during this stage of life. I want to emphasize, this is from soy foods. Don't take the soy isoflavone supplements because that does not have the same benefit. And then weight management. As I mentioned a bit already, that soy's high protein and higher fiber content can help with our feeling of fullness, and it can just help with overall healthy eating habits. Now, I do want to address those pesky allergies. Soy allergy is one of the top 9 allergens recognized by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration that is labeled on food products. So I'm not saying that the U.S. FDA doesn't recognize other allergens. Just mentioning that there are 9 very common food allergens that are required to be labeled or listed on a label, on a food label, if it's in there. And soy just happens to be one of those. So obviously, if you have a soy allergy, consuming soy products or a product containing soy can trigger an allergic reaction. So I know this seems somewhat redundant. If you are a person with a soy allergy or watching this, you certainly know this, but a lot of people just aren't aware that this is a top allergen and that it is listed as an allergen on the food label. So, and then the other part is just mentioning that people with a soy allergy need to communicate these restrictions at food service establishments to prevent accidental exposure. But I always want to increase the awareness of true allergens. And a lot of times when I talk with people who have a lot of allergies to foods, they're very, very cautious about going out to eat or eating at a restaurant that may not realize how serious this can be. All right, so I want to address some of these common myths and the facts regarding soy foods. So, number one, soy causes hormonal imbalances. I should say myth number one, soy causes hormonal imbalances. And the fact is, research indicates that moderate soy consumption does not disturb our hormone levels and may even have a benefit for women's health, like I mentioned, related to the menopausal symptoms. Myth, soy is only for vegans or vegetarians. And of course, the fact is, soy is popular among plant-based, plant-forward eaters, but it's a nutritious option for everyone, regardless of dietary preferences. So sometimes there's this thought or belief that if you're not vegetarian or vegan, why would you have soy? Which hopefully this is shifting, but I still get that brought up. Also, people often ask, how do vegetarians or vegans get enough protein? Soy, as I already mentioned a couple times, is a complete protein, a decent source of protein. So there it is. Here's another myth. Soy causes cancer. Fact is, moderate soy consumption does not increase cancer risk and may even have protective effects against certain types of cancer. And specifically addressing breast cancer, numerous studies have shown that moderate soy consumption does not increase breast cancer risk and may even have protective effects, especially when consumed during adolescence and young adulthood. So if you're a breast cancer survivor and you were told to not have soy, that go ahead and keep following that. Yet at the same time, how long ago was that? Because if we were talking 10 years ago or past that, before that rather, that was commonly mentioned. And that is not what is believed now. So double check and see if that is still true, if that was something you were told. Another myth is that soy is bad for our thyroid, when the fact is moderate soy consumption is unlikely to have a negative effect on our thyroid function, especially if we're getting adequate iodine. Unless consumed excessively, soy does not adversely affect thyroid function in healthy individuals. And those with thyroid conditions, double check with your healthcare provider for individual guidance. But unlike in the past, again, this is not a common recommendation like it once was. Myth: soy consumption leads to gynecomastia, or what is referred to as male breast enlargement. Oh boy, this is a question I get a lot. Men are terrified of having anything with soy in it. That's what, when I get this question. The fact is, despite popular belief, scientific evidence does not support the notion that soy causes gynecomastia in men. Studies have shown that moderate soy consumption is unlikely to affect men's testosterone levels or estrogen balance. Soy foods can be part of a balanced diet for men without concerns about gynecomastia. And I will mention, there was one case where this did happen, and that was, it's a fascinating case study. It took the physicians a while to figure out what was happening. There was more than just the gynecomastia happening. And it was discovered that this man, was consuming 3 quarts of soy milk a day. A day. 3 quarts a day. To give you a little bit more reference, there's 4 quarts to a gallon. So he was consuming 3/4 of a gallon of soy milk per day. So when I say moderate consumption, that is really not moderate. Moderate consumption, 1 or 2 servings of soy a day, is not going to have a negative effect. And yes, that is a stunning piece of information. So I often say, because of cases like this, in the amounts that most rational people would consume, it has no negative effect. Effects. So now that you know more about soy, I've addressed several of these myths, you now know the facts. I encourage you to embrace soy food consumption and knowing the nutritional benefits here. That I'm not saying you have to stop eating meat. No, that didn't even come in until I just said it just now. It's how to integrate this plant food that has a bunch of health benefits and very little negative effects. And how can you start having it in your diet? You don't need to go with the soy burgers. I don't even know if those are still around. But you can swap out meat for soy on occasion. You can replace meat with tofu, tempeh, or edamame. And this can be part of stir fries, salads, or tacos, where you can get more plant proteins. So something like tempeh can be used in tacos, for example. Soy snacks, this could be something like roasted edamame or soy nuts. I remember my son used to love when I would steam edamame and he would have it as a snack after school. And then smoothies, you could use silken tofu in a smoothie, and this has like a yogurt-like texture, or soy milk. I use the soy milk in my smoothies to give it a little bit of different flavor. And it's certainly something I can tolerate more. So hopefully you've learned something about soy, about its nutritional profile, its health benefits to us, to all of us, and understood that some of these persistent myths about soy aren't based in fact. And in fact, it's got so many benefits, it should not be a problem. Soy is part of a lot of our foods. So hopefully you can feel comfort in integrating more soy foods into your diet and reap the benefits. All right, everyone, that is it for this week's episode of Real World Nutrition. I would encourage you to give me some feedback, click on that follow button, and rate this podcast to help give me some more information about what you want to hear. Take care, everyone. Bye for now.